you know, I like to visit, and I got caught visiting and just talking with people. We were making plans to have coffee, and it's like, oh, it's the timer went out on me. Well, good morning, everybody. May the grace and the peace of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ be with you and upon you, and give his peace unto you, each and every one of you. And happy Mother's Day to each of the moms in our congregation as well. We really celebrate you this morning. Just very quickly want to share a few things with you. Next Sunday, I know many of you all know the Edgertons, Lee and Melinda, and they have been attending here for quite some time. And they normally attend the first service, so they're still here. The second service folks, you probably won't see them as much, but they are going to be moving to Topeka, Kansas, and we are going to have a little reception going away bash for them next Sunday between the services. So the time when you normally are going to get some donuts and things like that, you come on and you can greet them and give them a hug and let them know of your love. Also wanted to let you know, too, next Sunday after the worship service, this worship service, there's going to be a information session for questions and things like that from our safety team. We're going to be presenting. If you want to attend to that, they want to invite you to come to that and share a little bit more and ask any questions you might have. And then tomorrow night is going to be a really wonderful night here at Southern Hills. Les Jongleurs is going to be singing at 7 o'clock for their spring concert. It really is always a wonderful event. It's free. You know, it's great music for free is always a great thing. And if you're a guy and you want to have a great meal too, before that, Methodist men are meeting right before the concert at 6:15. We fellowship usually at 5:45 for tomorrow night. And if you'd like to come, there's a phone number in there and you can call and make your reservations. Now, I want to invite you to stand, greet your neighbor, share the peace of Christ with them. I invite you to join me now for prayer. Jesus, today is a day where we open our eyes a little bit more clearly to see. And amidst some of the cloudiness that we might experience in our life from time to time, Lord, we continue to be amazed and learn that you are always brightly shining your light into our lives and your life. And so, Lord, where we are tired or weak of heart and of strength, Lord, pour into us this morning the fullness of your life, where we are in need of your vision of hope and love, Lord, open our eyes so that we can see. Change us, Lord, and move within us as you grasp us and bring us up into heaven, and we surround your throne with our praises and our worship. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
mighty power and his grace. I can hear the crush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Surely the Lord is in this place. Look around you. I invite you to stand as you are able for our call to worship. God made the world and everyone in it. God made all nations under heaven.
We are all God's offspring.
Search for God in our time of worship.
We search, we find God near.
As we continue to celebrate God's presence in our midst, let us unite in saying the statement of faith of the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated, and as you are seated, our children are invited to come forward for a message with Mr. Brewer.
Good morning. How is everybody today? Good. Today's a special day, isn't it? It's Mother's Day. You're right. Did everybody get up and make breakfast for Mom?
No.
No? Oh, my goodness. Man, Mom's sorry.
My mom's too early.
I know. She does get up here early, doesn't she? Do you know that moms have a very special place in the Bible, too? Who's Jesus' mom? Mary, right. Do you think Jesus loved his mom? Yeah, he sure did. There's all kinds of stories about her. Did you know that Jesus did miracles just because his mom asked him to? He must have really loved her, didn't he? Because he didn't need any reason but just because his mom said so and asked him to. Pretty cool, huh? Y'all going to do some miracles for Mom today? Maybe whip up that breakfast later? Yeah. You are too? Oh, boy. That's going to be awesome. All right. God loves moms just like we love moms. And God gave us Mary as Jesus' mom so that we would know what good moms and good children do with moms, don't we? That's pretty awesome, isn't it? It's kind of nice to have that little guidebook, isn't it? Kind of help us be good kids and good moms, right? Yeah. Can you all pray with me this morning? God, thank you for Mary and Jesus and all the wonderful mothers in the Bible, all throughout, and all the stories about how moms are so wonderful for all of us and how we can be good to them in return just because they love and take care of us just like you do. Amen. All right, enjoy Mother's Day, guys.
In maternal love, we see some of the light of the divine, for God is love. Would you join me in this prayer to give thanks to the maternal love that we have experienced from those who are our own mothers, those who have just shown us the love of a mother, and anyone else? We want to honor mothers on this day. For mothers everywhere who have given us life and love, that we may show them respect and love. Lord, hear our prayer. For mothers who have lost a child through death, that their faith may give them hope and their family and friends support and console them. Lord, hear our prayer. For women, though without children of their own, acted like mothers and have nurtured and cared for us. Lord, hear our prayer. For stepmothers who have assumed that role with love and joy, who have loved the children of another as their own and created a new family. Lord, hear our prayer. For adoptive mothers who claim children as a precious gift from God. Lord, hear our prayer. For mothers who have been unable to be a source of strength, who have not responded to the needs of their children and have not sustained their families. Lord, hear our prayer. For mothers who struggle with temptation, violence, or addiction, for those who do harm, and for those whom they have harmed. For new mothers full of hope, for longtime mothers full of wisdom, for the mothers yet to be and mothers soon to be. Lord, hear our prayer. For those that have shaped our lives without claim of family or kinship, for those who have taught us, guided us, shaped us, and molded us into servants of Christ our Lord. Almighty God, in your wisdom and love, you created all things. Bless these women that they may be strengthened as Christian mothers, and let the example of their faith and love shine forth. Grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect, Grant this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal and ever-living God, we come today in worship to hear your voice in our lives. We praise you and celebrate you as ascended Lord. We recognize that you have authority over all things, but we live in a world where greed and power and violence seem to be in control. We live in a world where Christians many times try and make you, Lord, in our image instead of us being in your image. We recognize that in you our life is made whole and full. And we live in a world where death and brokenness and need seem to be everywhere. In many ways, we are as the Greeks that forget who you are, and sometimes think you are an unknown God. We are reminded today that we are yours, and you have made us in your image. This is the image of one of love, compassion, love, and justice. We are to remember that you make us, and we do not make you, O Lord. On this Sunday, we remember your ascension into heaven. We listen to you that we are not to stare up into heaven gawking as the disciples did, but that we now have a message of repentance for all to proclaim. We have the good news of redemption. Let us not keep it inside ourselves, but let us burst forth with joy to the entire world. We praise you and celebrate you as God among us. We receive your invitation to live God's dream. This morning, as we honor our mothers, we thank you for the women in our lives, whether our mother or not, who have shared with us your love and message of redemption. We pray this morning for mothers around the world, especially those who are struggling as single mothers, or those living in refugee camps, not knowing if they are going to live and die before the day is out. Let us be your hands of love in the world. We come, O Lord, on this day of glory to confess our lack of trust and lack of care for your creation. While we sing of your lordship over all creation, we have too often acted as though you are powerless in the face of today's events. Help us to live with confidence in your presence today and in hope for life with you forever. All this we ask in the name of Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the glory and power and glory forever. Amen. Let us continue worship with the giving of our offerings.
Joy of human power, the joy.
Almighty God, pour out your Spirit upon each and every one of us and these gifts of tithes and offerings. Use them and us, these talents, these lives for your kingdom. We pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And you may be seated.
Our scripture lesson this morning is from Acts chapter 17. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm telling you about. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. For he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed. And he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God.
The Areopagus, in which Paul stood quite boldly with a lot of grace and shared this message to the Athenians that have surrounded and gathered to hear him, is really quite an amazing place. If you were to go there, hopefully you take a bus up to the top of the Areopagus, because it's quite a walk. And when you get to the top, there is this really unique stone up there. It's purplish color and a little bit of pink as well. And you climb up some rather slippery stairs to get up there if you want to go the old-fashioned way, the way that Paul would have gone. Or they also have metal stairs as well to go up if you want to be a little bit safer. But I want to kind of give you an idea about this place. It's really high up. It's about 374 feet above the ground level, about 30-story building or so, and it's way up there. It's big purplish-pink rock. And then if you were to look out on Athens, it's way out in front of you. It just spreads out. And over to your right, as you look out, there is the Acropolis up here, another 140 or 50 feet above you, even beyond that. It's really quite an auspicious kind of a place. And here is Paul, and he's standing on the Areopagus. And the Areopagus had a lot of different uses, and a lot of things went on there. It was the place where the ruling council of Athens would gather, and they would do what they needed to do. It was a place where, as is mentioned here, a lot of philosophers, Stoics, Epicureans, and the like, they would gather as well, and they'd have their great debates on the meaning of life and existence. It was also where they held trials, as a matter of fact. capital trials. And it really is interesting. When I was there, our guide, it was trained as a historian, and he was telling us about this place that we were standing on. And he said, right over here in a capital trial, a murder trial, there would be this place where the accused would stand. And that is called the Rock of Insolence. Quite a name, isn't it? And then over here, where the accusers would stand, would be, it's called the Rock of No Mercy. I don't know about you, if I was going into a courtroom like that, I would be sweating a little bit. That would be a little rough. And he went on to tell me a little bit about all of this stuff and how things would go, and they would have their trial. And then after the trial was done, if you were found guilty, well, justice was swift. They would take you to the edge, where our guide actually invited us to do so. And it was really quite interesting. If you have a fear of heights and you ever go there, don't go to the edge. There's no railing. And they tell you to be careful, but you kind of stand over and 374 feet drop. It's a big drop. And after the trial was over, you're pronounced guilty. They just go, whoop, off you go. It gave me a little bit of a cold sweat, you know? It's like, my word, no appeal? You got to have an appeal, right? But here they are, and Paul is invited to share in this very powerful, momentous place. And it's here that they gather, and he says, you know, I've been around Athens. I know a little bit of philosophy. I've seen your gold and your silver and your stone idols and your statues, and I've seen all of these things, these gods that you worship. But I noticed that you have this stone idol there, and it's dedicated to the unknown god. So let me tell you about that God. And I think it's really quite a wonderful thing what Paul is doing here. And he's saying, you know, I sense, and he's giving a grace here, I think. He's very kind when I read his words. And he said, I sense that you have been struggling and maybe reaching around and plotting in the dark and trying to figure your way out about who this God is. Maybe this is like the most important God. And let me tell you a little bit about God. Now, a few years ago, Julie and I went to visit some dear friends. They're really almost like family to us in Hamburg, Germany. And one day we decided we were going to go out and go do some things. So we went to this, it's not really quite a museum, but it's this place where you go and you pay your money, you get in, and then they take you in small groups into this building, and it's multiple levels. And what you get to experience is blindness for about an hour or so. And they bring you in, your group of 10 people or so. They shut the door, and it's pitch black. I mean, you cannot see. And at first, it's very quite jarring. And then your senses kind of start taking effect, a little heightened that they are. And you begin to listen more with your ears and what's going on around me. Well, we stumbled all the way through this exhibit, and we had to do all kinds of things. We had to navigate through different obstacle courses, and one of the fun parts for me was you get to this one area about halfway through, and you get to go order food, like a coffee and some sort of a croissant or something like that. And you get to order it. You got to try and figure out and pay correctly for it, which was a challenge. And then afterwards, you know, they hand it to you, and then you've got one hand has got your croissant, and the other hand's got your coffee, and it's like, great, now how am I going to find my way? And so you kind of carefully make your way to a table. You try and figure out, make sure nobody's sitting where you're getting ready to sit. That would be real exciting. You sit down, and then you have to figure out how to add your sugar and your cream and do all of the other stuff to your food and eat it. Well, by the time it was all done, you know, again, this has been an hour. You've been in darkness for such a long time. And then you get to the very end, and they open the door just very slowly because they realize your pupils are like that big. And the light comes pouring in, and it just breaks through, and it's like, oh, I can see. I can see. And I think that there's a part of Paul when I read him and I read about his gracious, kind way of talking to these Athenians. It's almost as if he's saying, you know, I realize that you have been very much blind about who God is. And you've been kind of groping and feeling around in the darkness for quite some time. And you're looking for God, but you just really haven't found him yet. I want to help you see. I want to have God open the door and spread a little light into your understanding about the nature of the world and the nature of who God is. He went on to say, you have grasped and you've groped around for reality. You've been stumbling about for so long. You've been worshiping. And here's the thing that really gets my heart. He said, you've been worshiping these dead, empty things. Dead, empty things. Dead, empty things, like a statue of the unknown God, can just sit on a shelf and it gathers dust for a while, doesn't it? And then after a while, when we get tired of that or it bores us, then we take it and it goes into the basement where it finds its life in a box for the next 50 years. And then after that, after we're long gone, our kids find it and they're like, what the heck is this? And then it goes to the trash. Dead, empty things. Things like these statues that are out there and the elements and the wind and the rain and the sun, and it breaks down. These perfectly formed sculptures that are so beautiful in the Athenian art, you know, Greek, Greco-Roman art. And give it a few hundred years, 1,000 years, and the bright, sharp lines of those idols and statues, they start to just slowly wear away and then become mere reflections or shadows of what they once were. Empty, dead things. And I think about that because we populate our life, do we not? I'm guilty of it too, folks. I'll step on my toe right here. We're guilty of that. We fill our lives, surround our lives with empty, dead things as well. And here they are. Paul is being kind to them and he's saying, here are these empty, dead things that you all are worshiping. But the kindness of Paul is this, I think. You know, being blind is not the fault of the one who is blind, right? And Paul knows this. And he says, I want you to see. I want you to know. I want you to stop reaching out. Now, here's what they see. And this is the really exciting part. Paul, and really more greatly and grandly, God is showing them this new era that has come upon the earth. It's a new era of life, not an era of death, not an era where we're surrounded by all of these dead, unliving things. No, it's an era where life, where God is present and breathing into us and filling our life and filling the life of the church with hope and joy and the power to go into the world. It's a life, a new era, where we no longer have to worship an empty, unknown thing. It's a life where we no longer have to have empty searching for the one. The one. And Paul is announcing this in such a graceful way, in this grace that he is sharing about life. He's sharing mercy just within a stone's throw of a rock that's known as the Rock of No Mercy. And he's saying to the people, I know a God of mercy, of grace, and of love. And he is for you. What you have been struggling to find and figure out, he has made himself known to you. And his light is shining upon you with its origin being an empty tomb, where the door, the vault was slowly opened to see truth and life. Now, we're surrounded by those sorts of things all over the place in our lives. There's a pastor in England that I really, really love. His name's N.T. Wright. I read quite a few of his books. I enjoy what he has to say from time to time. And he's actually, I think, it's Joan, this would you find this interesting. I think he was the Bishop of Canterbury, Archbishop of Canterbury, when the fellow that wrote the hymn that we sang, or he gave John Rutter an honorary doctorate. I believe it's The Time is Right, at that time when he was Archbishop of Canterbury. But N.T. Wright, he says, quite interestingly, he said, you know, Europe is full of these big cathedrals and they're glorious. And of course, he was the Archbishop of Canterbury. Canterbury Cathedral was his place of ministry. It's kind of his roots there. And he said, you know, I watch people come in to different places in my own country. And he was speaking specifically about England, of course, but he says, I've watched people come into St. Paul's Cathedral, maybe Westminster Abbey. Certainly, I've watched people come into Canterbury. And he said, a lot of them, well, who knows, but he said, it seems like a lot of them, you know, they're just there to see the place. They're tourists. And again, in Europe, he would say, a lot of people have distanced themselves from religion. And you know, they're just, it's not their thing. But he said, it's interesting to see people come into these places like St. Paul's or Canterbury, and he notices something about their behavior and how they change a bit, and their face changes too. He said, they're struck with a sense of awe. They're struck by this sense of divine presence that is in that sanctuary, that place. And these people, many of whom have distanced themselves from religion, they actually find themselves maybe doing something that surprises them. Because they sit down, they're trying to figure out what to do. Some of them, they offer prayers and quiet. Some of them, they go over and they light a candle. They are responding to something and not quite sure what it is. It's still maybe this unknown God to them, but they sense the reality of God's presence because God has left his presence, this proof of his existence, to illumine the darkness, not only in their lives, but also in ours. And I think that's powerful. For all of the dead things that we carry, that we can walk into this holy sanctuary and we get a sense of the power and the awe and the majesty of God. Now, I would argue with you that places like the Areopagus maybe became a place like that, because it's where God invited those who were trying to figure it all out, a way to see life. It's interesting, after what we read for you and the scripture lesson, there is a little bit more of a postscript there as well. And it, some of the people, they laughed at Paul and they left, and it was, that's whatever. And then there were others that stayed and they said, I want to hear more. And they became Christians. One of the fellows there was Dionysius, who decided to become a Christian. And I think about in our own lives, brothers and sisters, where we're surrounded by all of these signposts, like Canterbury Cathedral, like the Areopagus, like what's your favorite place? And it's this place where God has planted a signpost that points to him and says, look, with grace, I want you to know that I am alive. I'm shining light into the world, and I can be known. I can be known. Even when you think, in some of the hardest days you might experience, that you just might not be able to know God all that well. In the days when you feel like you're groping about sometimes, God is saying, amidst all of the signposts, come and see. Come and see. Our closing hymn is full of beautiful, rich words and theology. And I chose it because, especially verse number 2, there's some things in there I want you to pay attention to. The words that are being said in as you're singing them. And it's quite powerful. It's wonderful. And so I invite you to sing to our immortal, invisible, wise God of love. Let's stand and sing together. I messed up is verse 3 that I like. I like it because it speaks about really this imagery of a tree and how we're leaves and we're connected to that tree. And we find our source of life comes from God, and just like a leaf does from a tree. And I also like the fact that in the moments when we wither and we perish, we don't alter God. God continues to remain that source of life. And I think that's such a beautiful image for us. It reminds me a little bit about Jesus and what he said to his disciples. And he said, you know, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And also, it's not just that way, but it's also, I am in you and you are in me. Paul picks up on this in his own theology in Romans, and he talks about us being incorporated or part of the body of Christ. And this is who we are. There's this connection that we have to God, which gives us life. And we receive the source of life in our very breath, day by day by day. And the beautiful thing is, may I just say this as you go forth, that just like Canterbury Cathedral, you are so much more a beautiful signpost that points to the giver of life, who not only dwells in you, but also in each and every one of us, in the church all around the world. And so be that beacon of light that you are, and naturally shine wherever you might go this week. And I pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.